Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast, good levels. We did a sound check with the boy. I mean, that's that boy's name.
New can't get right.
No, I think he can get right. Not that boy. No, not that boy.
Okay, the second young Caucasian boy
came in. I think he all right. Yeah, the second boy came in.
He might be all right though.
I think he was nervous.
Just FYI, we had an intern that used to be.
Can't get right today. I told you because he'd be coming to the office.
Yeah, okay, so.
He be at the office all the time.
Yo, bless his heart. This kid is as sweet as could be.
But he's been here for
like 3 years. He was coming in doing it. We didn't know his name.
Yeah.
And we called him Can't Get Right.
Yeah, I saw him today. He's at his office like he's been away. He was in Puerto Rico, buddy. I see him like regular. Like, oh, what up, man?
Tell him say hey.
I will. I'll tell him y'all said hi. Disgusting weather.
It's so weird.
And it was crazy because last week, literally, the weather was perfect every day.
Yeah.
It was sunny, not a cloud in the sky. It wasn't too humid.
Right.
It would cool off at night. And this week, it's like gushing rain, like a faucet.
Yeah. You look at the weather app.
And it's muggy.
You look at the weather app every day, it's like a lightning bolt.
Yeah. So it's terrible, but I guess.
And it's not consistent, which I feel like that's worse than when it is consistent.
Yeah.
Like I was out earlier today, and like the sun was out, but it was raining.
Yeah,
and then like it was like it's muggy and it's not raining, but then it's gonna rain again and it's not.
Yeah, it's like it's gonna get. It's whack. So peace to New York's raggedy ass summer.
So I'm almost over.
It was some type of shout out I had. I forgot.
We're the oldest blackest podcast.
We'd be like, who
died? Oh shit. Sugar's got the best of them.
Lord, I want to give a shout out to John Caramonica, who is the music critic for the New York Times.
For 1,000 years.
For a bajillion years. Who, weirdly, and this is a whole other conversation, and no shots to John, but he's like the most respected urban music critic in the business, but he's a white boy.
He is. But he's been in it, you know, he's been in it a long time, you said.
Yeah, he really
put in the work. Like, he's interviewed everybody. He's really, like, he was on the hip-hop shit from the door. He was one of the first big reviewers to review hip-hop albums.
Right.
Back in, like, the late 80s, he was doing, like, Public Enemy and the New York Times. That was major.
Yep. Yeah. And so he called me in because he has a podcast with the Times called The Popcast. So they giving us a little competition right now. So we're gonna have to watch. But anyway,
they do music.
They do pop music discussions. So it's called. Okay. But it's not pop culture. It's pop music.
Okay.
But it was him, Alan Light, who used to be the editor in chief of Vibe and the editor in chief of Rolling.
Yeah, I used to know Alan Light back in the day.
I'm telling the people.
Oh yeah, my fault.
And a couple of other writers. But basically, it was a table full of white boys and me. And I realized that the reason I got called in, which is fine, is because we were discussing the Whitney doc. And
I saw it, right?
I think that John realized, like, I can't have a table full of white boys
and talk about Whitney.
So, first of all, you know, I'm geek because they definitely needed some balance. Because, you know, when those people start talking about music, it's on a very, like, meta level. Esoteric.
Like, very esoteric. From the soul.
Yeah, so I had to throw some Larry's on that bitch.
Yeah.
But thank you John for, I didn't even know he was a music sermon follower.
So I want to get into this Whitney doc, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm going to see, two things I want to see this weekend and now I can get some breath. I want to see the Whitney doc and the Alexander McQueen. There's Alexander McQueen documentary.
I
think it came at the same day as Whitney.
Okay.
So I want to see those two. Like I said, I told you I saw Andre Leon Talley, so I'm getting my shishi poo poo on.
Right.
But I want to go into the Whitney doc, but I just think it's also interesting, and we always do this as black folks, you know, like we do it with Michael, Andrew James, and even with Prince, you know what I'm saying? Like, when Whitney was alive,
it was jokes,
it was, she looked crazy, blah, 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 and she did look bad. Now, she had issues. And then as soon as she died, she's, you know, revered. She's put on the pedestal. Can't talk about no Whitney no more. Like, can't say no bad about Whitney.
Although we always people do that, period. But that's the thing with Whitney. Even now, there's still like, I think a couple things happen. I think for one thing, our over the past decade, not even that, just the past 5 years, we have matured socially about what we can make jokes about and what we can't.
True.
Like, them, you know, people don't even really do your mama jokes no more. You know what I mean? Like,
nah, not really.
And like, selfishly, I was actually saying this, I would love for me and Bobby Brown to run again, but there's no way.
Oh, there's absolutely no way. There's absolutely no way.
Ever. There would be think pieces out the wazoo.
Oh, my God.
Nobody would be hit. Like, it would be, oh, this is a travesty. Oh, this is, you know, crack porn. Oh, this is, you know, like, whatever. So, I think that the landscape has changed. And, you know, or even, like, jokes about pedophilia. Like, there used to be whole sets about Michael Jackson and Comedy Jam being a pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
That would never rock
today
anymore. So I think the conversations have changed and what's socially acceptable has changed. But I also think that still, the person who's being revered, once they die, and once you don't have to face this latter version of them, you can go back to just
remembering the good stuff.
The good stuff. And that's what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're dissecting Whitney's demise, and this is kind of what I talked about. The director of the Whitney doc, first of all, he's a white British dude, and the director of Can I Be Me was a white British dude. This one was initially...
What's Can I Be Me?
The other doc.
Oh, the other Whitney. Yeah. I didn't know that was the title. Okay.
Yeah, Can I Be Me. They're both white Brits. This one was family sanctioned. It was authorized but he had final cut rights, and Sissy has now disavowed it.
Really?
Because
is that
I just want to add, she also has been officially diagnosed with dementia.
Oh, Sissy
I'm
has.
I'm not surprised.
Yes, that's very and.
Well, excuse me, Miss Sissy. I gotta put a handle on that
name.
Yeah,
all right,
she'll curse you out.
But yes, and you know, not to veer off, but I think any of us, I've dealt with a parent with dementia.
Yeah,
that was totally not surprising to me. Mm-hmm. I saw the signs I saw real hard evidence around that Oprah interview.
That Oprah interview was so uncomfortable.
Was very telling to me.
Yeah.
I saw so much of my mom. I saw so the mannerisms, the harshness, the tongue was just unwielding, man.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was part of it, and I also think that, again, because they didn't have those final rights,
right,
it makes it easy to just say
There's a couple of things in there. First of all, both of Whitney's brothers are interviewed multiple times, and like,
Gary and Michael, yeah,
and her half brother, John III, I think her father's son by someone else, and I was shocked at how much shit they was just spitting. Oh my God! Like,
they hold back shit.
You know, it was one of those things where you really don't expect niggas to talk like that while Sissy's still alive, type shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, words? Y'all gonna say this on camera? Like, for real? So I was very shocked at that. Sissy didn't say a whole lot. She talked about her, Whitney's upbringing and stuff. And there was an older family friend who's called Aunt B, who also was like not spilling no dirt. You know,
Aunt B ain't saying nothing to nobody. None of your business.
Yeah, Aunt B was like, nothing happened in her childhood.
Of course,
nothing.
Of
she
course.
Had an idyllic childhood.
Of course she did.
That's exactly what she said. She said Whitney had an idyllic childhood. Like, she was fine.
We all know Aunt B.
We all know Aunt B.
Me and Sissy met back in third grade.
But Michael and Gary
was spitting it.
Was out here. And the assistant, Miss Mary, Pat,
Miss Mary,
a couple of other people. But this isn't a spoiler because it's been whispers around, but one of the things that was addressed was the allegations that Dee Dee Warwick, who is Dion's sister, molested not just Gary, but all of them, including Whitney. The problem is, the filmmaker kind of frames it as though this is the heart of Whitney's
issues
of all of them, because all of them were drug addicts. All of the siblings were drug addicts. And that's the other thing, is that they do say, like, unequivocally, we introduced Whitney to drugs. Like, these niggas was doing drugs.
It wasn't Bobby.
Way before they met Bobby. Way before Bobby came around. Bobby never even did hard drugs. Mike was like, Bobby was a lightweight. Like, we could run circles the fuck around. He right? Fucking, yeah. He fucked with alcohol.
You can see it. How he, even now, his face is blowing in. Yeah.
So he positions it as, like, that was the source of everything Whitney. Like, whether Whitney was fucking with Robin, and whether there was this, and whether...
Because Robin's not in it, right?
No, Robin's not interviewed in it.
Okay.
And, but that framing, to me, is too easy and too cheap. Because there's way more to it. There's way more depth. And they do get into a lot more of how unhappy she was and how lonely she was and how isolated she was and shit that was really going on at home. But they just frame it like, oh, but this was the thing.
Well, let me say that. Let me just say, too. I think that that's often the case when people who don't really understand setting, right? Mm-hmm. When you don't come from a place... when you don't understand the nuances in the culture, mm-hmm. especially of a certain time period, it's very easy for you to be dismissive of how those things played a role.
Right.
And recreational drug use
was very common.
Rampant.
Yeah, very in common. In the 80s?
Yes, during a time in the mid to late, like, it wasn't even seen. Basically, if you stayed away from heroin,
you was good.
You were good.
Right. Matter of fact, you was doing cocaine. You was balling.
Yeah, like,
exactly. Because it meant you had money.
Yeah, you was chilling.
Exactly. And there were so many functioning addicts. And I think that that is in part why we talked about Whitney in the ways that we did. Because her drug abuse seemed very familiar to a lot of us.
Yeah, because a lot of us had that uncle. Relative, yes, that and cousin, that aunt, and uncle.
And we did not process it as, oh, this shit is going to be something that takes her out.
Right. That's the wild shit, though. Did it really take her out? Because when she sadly died... Well, physically, anyway. Remember, she looked great.
Yeah. No, but that weekend she was wild. She was definitely not.
She was outside because you remember
she was outside. But I remember seeing, like, she crashed an Entertainment Tonight interview with Clive.
Well, she didn't give a shit.
No. But she was like, Bobby, come say hey to your godfather. Come on here, come on. She was like, wig was crooked. She was sweaty, she was out with Ray J a lot.
Yeah, allegedly, the rumor is that Ray J was the one that started, got her back on.
Ray J is always left completely out of his narrative.
Feeding her the cocaine.
Because he had her outside.
Yeah, so maybe the drugs did kind of take her out, I guess.
I think that the things that aided her in her death were not the drugs that we thought.
Yeah.
Right.
We thought, oh, she's smoking crack. Yeah. Like, she gonna be all right. She'll get that shit soon enough.
And she did.
That's what I'm saying. There was obviously the point where we talked about her. Then there was the point where we got scared.
Yeah.
When she came out on the Grammys
looking like a skeleton.
Oh, the Michael Jackson joint.
The Michael Jackson thing, yeah.
That shit was when everybody was like,
I told you I went to that show. Did I ever tell you that?
No.
Yeah, I went to that show.
Which means she probably looked even scarier in person because the camera puts weight on her.
Oh, yeah, it was bad.
So I think that, again, I say all that to say that I think that people were making those jokes in a way that was that's something that I've seen before.
It's cultural.
It is cultural.
In families, so-and-so out there on that shit.
How long are they going to be in the bathroom?
You better lock my purse up. James coming over here.
But also, her and Bobby were a spectacle.
Yes.
And maybe even against our own sensibilities, we're fucking entertaining. Like, let me see what...
No, they were, because, again, because culturally we know them. We know those people. Those are our cousins, those are uncles, those are our friends.
Exactly. We know them. Like you said, we know when they're coming over to the house and be like, oh, here we go.
If you took everyone and asked them, if you took 100 people who made those jokes and you said, what is the fate of this couple? I would probably say 70% would have said they'll get clean by the time they're like 50, 54, 55.
They're
gonna
be together.
Yes, they're gonna be together forever.
Yeah.
Bobby gonna be in and out.
He might have an outside couple kids.
But they go. We would have all said that. No one would have said tied that story off as her dying.
And that's why I think, and that's also why when she did die on that weekend, first, you know, we were shocked for several reasons. One, it was Grammy weekend.
Right.
And then number two, like, because even though she might have been wilding, like, physically, we looked at her like, oh, she all right now.
Yeah.
Like, she made it through the dark part. Now she back to
right.
the
she
good part.
Because she wasn't scared.
Remember, she
skinny.
Was singing. She was singing
she was
with Faith.
Yeah,
I mean, with
she
Kelly,
with
was
Kelly.
It Kelly Price? Yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't
and she
scary.
Sounded great.
She wasn't scary skinny anymore.
No.
She gained her way back and stuff. But, yeah. But it was definitely clear she wasn't sober.
Yeah, well, you know, we would have took the non-sober.
Right,
so we didn't
right.
think she was going to die from that.
No, we didn't. And I think, I mean, the other thing is, like, really, I mean, now is different. But in terms of R&B, yes, we've lost some artists to behavior that was surrounded around being a drunk. But how many artists have we really lost, like, a straight overdose?
The drugs, we lost Prince, we lost Mike. And we
now.
Lost oh, now.
I mean, but, like, at oh, the time, Whitney died.
Oh, the, back then? Nah, wasn't nobody
yeah,
dying.
Whitney
and,
was the first.
And again, it was the opioids. What I'm yeah. saying is... The drugs that she was taking were drugs that we saw Rick James fuck with,
yeah.
right.
Richard Pryor fuck with, drugs that we, even when it, at their most strung out and at their most fucked
we figured they're going to be all right.
They're going to be all right.
Yes, they'll
kill,
be able
like,
to
kill
and the thing
them.
Is that most of them did have a space where they, came, like when Rick, you know, came out of prison.
Yeah.
He was all right, you know what I'm saying?
Even when Rick got, like I said, it might have been a bad behavior that was exacerbated by drug use. But, like, there aren't a lot of other... Like, Hendrix is a rock star. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Rock,
that was the 70s.
Rock,
that was heroin,
star,
though.
Yeah, rock stars die of straight drug overdoses.
That was heroin.
Even pill overdoses, like Sean is saying, that to me is a little bit different than, like, I died of a straight cocaine overdose, heroin
yeah.
overdose, whatever. That's some rock star actor shit.
I told you I met Rick,
had,
too.
Oh, nah, nigga. Which Rick was this? Was this?
Yeah, which Rick?
It was real quick now. It was Rick when he came home from jail.
Okay.
Okay.
I was at, I guess
yeah,
it was Soul Train Awards.
Okay.
And he was with the white gal. He was at a party. First of all, that nigga was huge.
Yeah, Rick's a
yeah.
big dude.
That nigga was like 6'3 and like
yeah, no,
big.
Rick's a, yeah, Rick,
he was
yeah,
a,
Rick's
big
a big motherfucker.
That was the first time I was like, God damn, this nigga is
watched,
big.
If you ever watch some of those clips and you see him standing next to like average size
yeah.
men,
yeah, yeah.
like Rick's a big
yeah,
motherfucker.
Yeah, he's a big
man.
Motherfucker. It was light, you know what I'm saying? I was just like, I tapped the nigga and he was talking to somebody and then the white girl, God bless his I'm calling her, it was his
old
wife,
lady.
His old lady. She was like, Rick, baby, hold on now. This boy want to say something to you. So he turned around. I just gave a pound. Yo, I love your work. It was like
you know what I love about you, bro?
I'm running up on you.
And Lark, you are running up on niggas. And it's so funny because I've been in this business so long that I will not do it. You
will
motherfucking
up.
Run up on
I
niggas.
I ran up on
airport,
Leslie Uggams. I ran up on Leslie Uggams at Lincoln Center one night.
You got to run up on
I said,
niggas.
I ran up on her. She kind of was frightened because it was dark. And I don't know what I'm saying. I was with my ex or whatever. She was like, don't do that. I was like, nah. But then, you know, she calmed down when she saw it was love.
Yeah.
I ran up on Diane Carroll at, what's the name of that restaurant? Docs. You know what I'm talking about? Docs?
Nah.
I'm surprised Diane ain't
now.
Slap you with a glove.
It's on 70 something. No, let me tell me Diane Carroll started. So I ran up on, so we in Docs, me and my ex, we in Docs. And Diane's in the back. I was like, oh shit, it's Diane Carroll. And my ex was like, don't talk to her. And I was like, hell no, I'm running up on Diane Carroll. So we sitting by the front, by the glass.
Right.
So Miss Carroll walks out with her friend. She actually lived, I found out later, she lived on West End.
Okay,
so she was like
sense.
Right around the corner from there
yeah.
in the 70s. So she walks out, she's outside talking to her friend. I was like, I'm going for it. She was like, I said, I'm going for it. I got up, I walked outside. I waited for a second. I said, excuse me, Miss Carroll. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm a fan of yours. I remember you, you know, from back in the day. Claudine's my favorite movie, which it is. You know what I'm saying? I love you. And then Diane Carroll said, oh, it's nice, young man. It's nice that I know that it could influence you the way
I
influence you. And you looked up to me, and that makes me feel good that
yes,
you looking up to me. Now, what do you do, young man? And I was like, I work for a record company. She was like, that's a very interesting young man. I'm glad I was able to inspire you. I was like,
you're like,
all right, man. I made that shit up. I made it all about her.
She was like, I met this young man who I
inspired to beat the corner and follow his dream. But it was Diane Carroll.
Nice.
You know, back then there was no cameras,
camera
phones. I mean, so many people, I wish I would have
been able
to, you know, because how many times are you going to see Diane Carroll on Broadway and 75th Street?
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, I appreciate that. I wish I had it in me to do that, because all the years I've been in the business, I don't have a lot of pictures of me with the artists that I've been with, because I always be on. Because my job is usually like to move the artists.
You know,
But I know that I know how it feels for them when they like, yo, can I get this split? Can I get this split? And I just actively be trying to like.
Yeah, you didn't pictures. Do that. Yeah. I regret the one regrets I have is when I went to the Grammys 1 year. And we got these great tickets, me and my man Jimmy Manis. We got these great tickets. That's another long story. But so we ended up having to come. It was at the Garden. So we had to end up walking through across the front row to go to our tickets. It was during commercial. And so we come out. And the first person I saw was your man, King of Queens, Kevin.
Kevin James.
He was sitting there by himself. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. And then at the Grammys.
CBS.
All right.
CBS. Then the next two people sit next to each other. And I said hi, but I didn't stop and soak it.
Right.
Was Aretha Franklin and B.B. King.
Wow.
I was like so stunned.
Right.
I was just like, like, oh my God. And right. they both, you know, me and Jimmy, you know, young niggas with suits on, so they both was like, hey, how you doing, young man? And I was like, hey, Miss Franklin, hey, B.B. King. You know what I'm saying? But I wish I would have like. Talked.
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall, because I know they was talking so
much. Oh my God! And probably passing a flask on the low.
Aretha was probably like, all these bitches, my sons.
And they are.
They are.
And they fucking are.
So.
They are.
But you know, we miss you, Whitney.
I love it, Jeff. Yeah. One day we're gonna. So y'all, just so y'all know, I'm always telling Jeff he needs to write a book, and I'm always telling Jeff. I'm always telling Jeff about ghostwriting, and he always says he doesn't remember.
It gotta get
triggered. But Jeff, I'm telling you, if you give me one of these like Christmas breaks or something like that, where you have time, if you will give me like 5 days to sit with you, I will give you prompts. I will ask you questions.
We'll try it out.
Can tape
it. We'll try it out.
I'm telling you, I can pull these stories out of you, because once you get it, you gone.
We're going to bring this nigga some crown.
I'm saying.
Give him, right, give him a two-piece.
I ain't talking about that time. we miss you, Whitney, and we love you. Let's mention, Brian, no, you ain't see it, but let's mention the Pose finale.
It was amazing.
It was 8 episodes. Great, great series. Like, great.
It was great. My only complaint, and this is a technically critical thing, and this is just my thing as a fan. You know, I hate a storyline that's wrapped up with a bow. And the finale, because they did not know yet when they were shooting, they didn't know if they were getting picked up. So they wrapped it all up so that if that was what they had to walk away with,
then they walked away.
And I mean, it was beautiful. And it was awesome. And as a fan, I appreciate how everything worked out for everybody in this last episode, but also just as a critical fan, I just don't like it when things are that neat.
Because there's a couple, me and, you know, Sydney, friend to the room, we talked about it at the job. And there's a couple storylines I think would have been altered. I think that they wouldn't.
Angel's storyline, I feel like, would not have wrapped up.
Yeah, Stan. I don't think they would have wrapped the Stan up like that. Yeah, they would have. She might even have had that discussion, but they definitely would. And maybe they'll figure it out. Because he's great, and his wife is really good. I got a feeling his wife is going to come back eventually, be almost like an ally for the trans community.
Possibly,
I feel like there's some kind of way. And I don't think they would have wrapped up Elektra so neatly.
Yeah, no.
Because her redemption
was immediate.
Immediate. But I'm going to say, though, that
Elektra Indochine
is the perfect job.
Fucking perfect.
There's no better job.
Yeah.
And I know we say this every week because everybody be killing it, but that first 3 or 4 minutes when they was playing Simply Red, her montage,
yeah,
is so Emmy great. Worthy.
So beautiful.
That shit was incredible. Because she was fucked up.
Yeah.
But I told Sid, what I think a lot of people didn't realize is, what it also showed me is, that's where she came from.
Yes.
Because she was able to do it again.
She built herself up from that. Yeah.
Yeah, she knew. She knew where to go to sleep.
Yeah.
She knew where to go to, like, she knew what how to do.
Exactly.
She went back to the quarter shit. Like, she knew what to do to try to maintain some type of life. So, I mean, that shit was great. That was awesome. I can't wait till they come back.
Yeah, it was just beautifully done. Yes. All of it, like everything, and we've said it before, gotta say it again, the fucking music supervision,
how much is the budget,
is like, but I can't think of that many shows that get it this right.
That Simply Red shit was like
perfect, but I mean,
every song.
Even when they did, like, when she first went, when Angel was dancing in the shit and Homeboy came to see her, it was like, is this love? You know, I mean, like, everything, like, it's always right on note. Right on time. Perfect. It's timely.
Even the Love is the Message shit.
Yeah, it fits the era, it fits the scene. You know how hard that is? Like, that's hard.
Yeah.
Love is a House at the end of this shit.
Yo, the Thrust MDs. I was like, these niggas playing the Thrust MDs. And it's, like, it's dope.
And it's dope. And it not only matched the House Mother joint, it matched the whole
everything
scene. Like, it was part, like, it's part.
Whoever the music supervisor is deserves a monster raise.
Oh my God.
Because, like, they fucking so bodied it.
The cues are perfect, because it's not even just the song, like the cue
when they come in.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
It's perfect.
So we got coming up
Queen August 11th. Not Queen Sugar.
August 11th, we got two shows on because you know I watch.
You don't watch Greenleaf though, do you?
No, but that's coming.
Yeah, Greenleaf is coming back. And then I like Greenleaf. Got a show, it's good and messy.
Own got a show called coming on, which I'm gonna check, called Mind Your Business, which is basically like Gordon Ramsay's. When he goes to Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, okay.
It's the same shit. It's a black woman who was a retro restaurant
to go help
tour.
People.
Yeah,
like,
but it's black people. So right, you know, it's lit.
Be a mess. Okay,
and then and then Ayana comes on.
Ayana comes back, yes.
And then that's the 11th. Mm-hmm. And then the 12th, Sunday Sermon, bro.
Yeah.
If you can make it, come on through. It's going to be big. And then that night is Insecure.
Yeah.
So we got some good shit coming up.
Yeah, Insecure coming back is going to be funny. Interesting. Whatever.
It's gonna tear the the timeline apart.
All of it.
Have you watched?
But I wonder, with no Lawrence, how does that change? I mean, we'll see. But I wonder how the dynamic is gonna change, especially because they said that this season they're supposed to be dealing with toxic masculinity.
Alrighty then. Did you watch Queen Sugar?
You know, I haven't watched Queen Sugar since like episode 4.
Okay, so
it's all on my DVR.
It's swinging.
Something wasn't really.
It's swinging back up.
Okay,
it's early, but I'm gonna give you the floor here.
Oh boy,
Robert Sylvester Kelly.
Oh boy,
he put out a record called I Admit It. I guess two days ago.
Yeah. This fucking
19 minutes and 5 seconds. Now, I admit I is a bit biased because, you know, the Jive record days, even though I admit he's a piece of shit now. But I is a bit biased.
That's what I'm talking about. It's a hit.
I think it is a hit.
You were listening to it as an A&R.
I think it is a hit.
You were listening to it as an A&R. We're listening to the... We're talking about the fact that this nigga...
The heinous nature of the fucking...
He went in the studio and actually put together a 19-minute track thinking that he's reading us for some
time. How many minutes did you get through, bro?
I listened to about maybe 45 seconds, maybe a minute.
Yeah. Nigga said 45 seconds.
I wasn't even entertaining.
And then I skipped forward because I heard he was talking shit about John. Then I had to skip forward to see what he said about John. He said something about John, Steve Harvey, and somebody else bringing another black man down.
What you think about it, bro? What you think about the whole? I know you answer the record, but just in general.
I think you got some nerve.
I think that it's sort of fascinating to watch, right? Because it's almost like he's begging for sympathy, right?
He's begging for sympathy. He's also just like, can't y'all just leave me alone and let me do my music?
And he keeps saying things in order to make people feel sorry for him. Like, I have to tour to pay my rent. These are the quotes. I didn't listen to the
song. Yeah, he says he's broke.
You know, he's broke.
He brings up being illiterate, which I think is the first time he addressed that.
Brings up being illiterate, which was basically like the worst kept secret in the world. World, right. In terms of music, but yeah, I mean, like, he's so inconsequential to my life. Like,
wrote him off,
like,
long ago.
Like, since seriously, dude, because this isn't a case of someone admitting to having an issue and trying to work toward fixing that issue, and even trying to rehabilitate or just. Not do the shit, right? Yeah. Like, how about you just not do this shit? Like, I've spoken to women of my age group from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
nigga's stories.
Oh yeah,
are so prevalent.
Yeah, like, has stories. It's like
everybody has stories of Chicago.
Every girl of a certain age has stories about this nigga, and it's identical. It is predatory. Mm-hmm. Even this song. in and of itself is basically it's showing him it's him showing his predatory nature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, he's trying to look for sympathy because he wants you to, you know, hear these things, and now he wants to talk about being.
Yeah.
It's manipulative.
You know,
it's
how he was abused.
It's right in line with predatory behavior.
Yeah.
And I will say that, and I've mentioned this on the show before. At some point, we're going to have a conversation about parents serving their daughters up.
Yeah,
that's real.
And he says that,
and he mentions that in the song. We definitely mm-hmm. need to address that shit.
Yeah,
but. This dude, man, has a fucking 25-year history of this shit,
yeah.
And it has not changed. It has become increasingly dangerous
yeah.
and harmful, and that's why I said before the worst shit is that he has figured out a way to operate in this uniquely murky space of mm-hmm. not quite being illegal.
Right.
Like, so he's like
is she 19?
Is she 17?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's 17, but like he's in a state where they can't really,
yeah.
you know, they can't really say anything, and the parents dropped her off there. So how
right.
does one jive all of that?
Yeah.
All of that shit is intentional, and that's what I'm saying. Like he is specifically targeting these girls who are looking for and in need of certain things mm-hmm. that he promises that shit to the parents.
Of course.
We see it every time the parents come on TV.
He said he's going to make my daughter a star.
It's the same type of parents, right? And so, you know, fuck him. Like, I'm really from the depths, man. Like, I mean that shit. Like, that nigga is fucking disgusting to me, man. And like for him to like be able to still walk around and operate, it is so disheartening to see women of a certain age, particularly black women, who still, you know, are fans of
shows
his, are fans of his in a way where they blame these girls.
Yep.
Oh, fast ass.
And no one, and guys, like we've evolved on this conversation.
Yeah.
The nuance about this conversation has changed, okay? Like, no one wants to hear that shit.
Right.
No one wants to hear, oh, the fast-ass girl, she knew what she was doing. She shouldn't have did that. That nigga's terrible, man.
Awful.
That nigga fucked. That nigga, yo, man, that nigga is awful. Like, for real.
Yeah.
Like, that nigga has manipulated girls that he's watched grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
nigga. Like, this yeah. ain't even no... Like, I'm not saying that because it's a stranger, it's better.
Right. But,
yeah,
like, somebody
yeah.
who
this is a
saw.
Fucking child
yeah.
that you've watched grow.
And
you
now
know.
You're like, oh, now it's
and
lit.
He was waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting.
Yeah.
Priming. Primping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm honest to God, I'm surprised this nigga ain't had his throat slit
right.
and been dumped in the river somewhere.
So, like, here's my thing. So, first of all, my issue with R. Kelly, when people always say, well, you're going to bring up James Brown, you're gonna bring up this one, you're gonna bring up that one. My issue with R. Kelly has always been that R. Kelly's behavior is continued. He shows no remorse. He shows no, like Sean said, no desire for redemption. And he's defiant about it.
Yes.
He's like that's the thing with me. Like, nigga, you named yourself the Pied Piper. You named yourself after a fictional character who led children out of a village via music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and
yeah.
you did that right around the time of Chocolate Factory, which was right around the time of the trial. It's like,
yeah,
come
was
on.
Proud of it too.
Yeah, and like, so he's defiant about it. And right now, what this tells me is that new R. Kelly, this shit is finally taking track. It's finally getting some real traction
so
because
think,
it's getting to him.
So let me ask this question. You know, because we just got to go to the black neighborhood, the black part of it.
Right.
Will they stop playing stuff in the name of love and all that at weddings and all that?
It's gonna take a while. But what's going to happen is that people are going to have to call. Like, you're going to have to be at a wedding and
call
say to your
out.
Uncle, say to the DJ, like, come on, man, are
don't
you
play
serious?
That shit.
I think,
like, but,
I think, too, I think that that's something that is going to, that's never going to happen, in my opinion. And
right.
here's why. Because we all have that line.
Right.
Right? So, for example, I think Floyd's an awful nigga.
But you going to watch him play? You going to watch him fight?
My line to watch, like, I wouldn't pay to watch him fight,
right?
But I wouldn't turn the channel if I was on.
If it was
okay,
on,
if it was
that's
on,
fair.
Right? So I'm very clear in that what my line is
different.
Isn't a line for everyone else.
Right.
I've said this for a very long time. If I probably have 14,000, 15,000 songs. I don't think I have any R. Kelly
right.
on my shit. like I just I cannot get past it. It bothers me to your core. My soul, my nigga. Yeah. Like fucking bothers me. And aside from that shit, like I think he's a fuck nigga.
Yeah.
Like I think he's a fuck nigga. When his shit was, he used to do some real fucked up shit to niggas on the road.
Yeah.
A lot of fucked up.
Yeah, because he's selfish. Sound, he's selfish.
Sabotaging shows, all sorts of
he's
shit.
He's a narcissist. Yeah. He's selfish. But what I was gonna say. Well, I think you're right, Sean. Because I was even in New Orleans. There was a restaurant that kept playing some R. Kelly, and I was really like, oh god, this fucking music is good. You know what I mean? And I was mad at myself because it was hard not to be like bopping and be like, oh fuck him. But it's still like. So you're right. I think it'll age out in time because I think that some of our people our age ain't necessarily trying to throw R. Kelly on the playlist, but there's still some older folks who want to get their step in.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know. So, but this shows me that this shit is finally getting to him, and he's surprised by it.
That's gotten that bad.
Yeah, because this is him lashing out, right? Yeah. And he honestly is saying, like, why can't y'all just let me make my music?
Yeah, and come
alone?
See me in my shows.
Right, why, and my fans still love me, like, what's the problem? Like, he really is like, what's the
problem?
Yeah,
why y'all tripping?
Right? He's reacting. So it's finally getting to him, which says to me that there is finally, like, some real traction happening around this conversation. But what still frustrates me is motherfuckers acting like this is a new conversation. It's like we have literally been having this conversation for 20 something years. Like,
yes.
Like, and granted, when the Aaliyah shit first came out, I remember it was like, oh, that's creepy, but nobody was really tripping. Let's be honest.
Because
he was in his 20s, it was a different era, it was like a whole different.
And I also think with the Aaliyah shit,
there also wasn't a history.
We assumed that it was a one off.
Yeah, there wasn't a history.
It was like,
shit was just crazy.
This shit got a little weird really quick. And that, to be perfectly fair and perfectly honest, that entire business and personal relationship was incredibly incestuous.
Yeah.
They all knew each other.
It was messy.
It was very messy, and it was like, okay, this shit went a little too far.
Right. Yeah.
And then at that time, again, this is pre-social media. This is like maybe three outlets that were like sort of focused and locked in on R&B like that, and they weren't really doing these expose pieces. The culture of MTO, Media Takeout, and TMZ, that shit did not exist at that point.
Yeah, which is why Vibe came off, because they did that big gossipy type of story, but other people weren't really doing that. Most of the pieces were like fluff pieces, like, you know,
because Mary J. Blige. Because you wanted to show reverence to your artists and your actors, because we're supposed to take care of our own, right?
Yeah.
But one of the things that I've pointed out to people, and I don't think any of our listeners are R. Kelly apologists, but one of the things I point out to people, because I posted the clip of the Tyrae interview when Tyrae is like, do you like teenage girls? And R. Kelly is like, now when you say teenage, how old are you talking about
teenage?
Like, girls
nigga,
who are
like, what?
Teenagers, nigga the fuck. And, you know, people hit me back with, but what if it was the 18 or 19? But here's the thing. We know that this nigga wasn't fucking with 18. Like, we know. Like, if you ever saw the tape of the quote-unquote P tape, that girl looked like a little girl. Like, she looked like a child, right? We know he married a 14-year-old. And I also said to them, when have you ever heard of R. Kelly attached to a grown woman in all these years, aside from his wife, and even with her? I've never seen a picture of R and Andrea together, ever.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, I didn't even know Andrea existed till they were about to get divorced.
I didn't know they existed until she came on that TV show.
Yeah, I didn't know Andrea existed. Like, she did a piece in Essence, like, after they got divorced. I was like, R. Kelly been married for all these years and got kids? Like, the fuck? You know, and I do have to say, so Andrea is now speaking out against him, but I have an issue with it only because Andrea is speaking out about her and her kids. Andrea hates
What about all the other kids?
Huh?
What about all the other kids?
Andrea ain't said shit. She's still not talking about his actual sexual predatory nature.
She's talking about how he's a bad father and
abusing her. And I mean, that's valid, but you can't just decide you're going to advocate for yourself because you see a trend happening. Because she didn't start talking until Mute R. Kelly became a thing. Andrea ain't said shit all these years. Maybe there were legal reasons.
I'm not going to co-sign that.
Maybe NDA.
There is probably some repercussions if she talks about anything outside of the scope of her personal experience. So she might have to... Listen, there is no way that nigga let her walk and she didn't sign 100 documents
right.
on what she could and could not
Well, that's
speak
always
about.
Why I assume that she wasn't talking, but now all of a sudden she's saying shit, and because I'm like, I but she's saying very select shit.
Because I think she's probably going through it with PR, legal, and making sure that, okay, this is how
I can
this,
say
this,
this
has
yeah.
to be structured this way. You can't right. say this.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean... Yeah, I'm a be quiet, you know. I got, you know, by Robert, but yeah. So anyway, Pat McGrath, you know this woman?
Yeah, but I don't know what happened.
She's a huge makeup.
Her company.
Company owner.
Yes.
And her company got an infusion of money from a
From an investor.
Yeah, and how you say the name? Eurizio. I'm probably saying that wrong. Brand New York-based investment firm. It took a 60 million minority stake in her Pat McGrath Labs, and that influx of cash took her company over $1 billion in estimated valuation, as they say, 200 million more than Kylie's.
Right.
So this became a big story in Black World, because it's like there's a
it
Black woman
right after
Kylie. Kylie got the Forbes cover, and then right afterwards, it's like, yo, but you know, there's a Black woman.
Yeah.
Whose company is $200 million more than hers, who y'all don't even cover, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of one to just, you know, mention her and give her her shout out and her props. You know, she's from an English woman.
I just want to.
And also, Pat McGrath's been out here for a long time.
I was just about
time.
To say, I don't want to veer too into this, but this is a 53-year-old woman who has built a legacy here.
From zero.
And we're talking about brick by brick. We're talking about she's had. Makeup deals and,
mm-hmm.
and a whole bunch of other things. So she's really taken this from the rooter to the tutor.
And out of England. So it wasn't like she started in a big country either.
Right.
She started,
yeah.
you know.
And I think that, but what I do want to say is that people are looking at this, in my opinion.
Oversimplification.
Yes. Forbes is a respected magazine in the world of finance.
Mm-hmm.
It is also still a magazine.
They also they got to get their money.
And
they
got to sell
magazines. It clicks and they like.
It's like we cannot complain about journalists being fired and laid off and let go and not being paid anything, and then you know, like the magazines aren't moving. If the units ain't moving, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Right. Like I mean. Like so, did this woman deserve the cover? Sure, they have to make a decision, though. They have to make a decision.
Who's going
to
sell?
Who is going to move the ball up the field?
Yeah, and Kylie's
right?
definitely going to move the ball
and
up
so,
the field.
And so, yeah, I mean, is it unfortunate? Sure, because this woman is slighted. But guess what? Her company is still thriving, and it will continue to thrive. I'm glad she's getting her just due. 53 that's a young woman. That's not an old woman. Like, she's probably got another 20 years here to do this and make it whatever she'd like to make it. So congrats to her and peace to her. And the other thing is the beauty of when someone owns a company like that and they've started, like, they're almost every facet of this is something she knows.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, so she can really be meat and potatoes.
Yeah, she knows
everything. Whereas, you know, Kylie in this particular instance
it's just her face.
It's really just a face, right? Now, she probably goes
to the lab sometimes.
She probably is trying to
I like that color
learn.
Or whatever.
She's probably,
yeah.
probably trying to learn and understand the business and what that means, and you deal with sort of these other things. But this is a woman who can do the shit. So she can not only produce this makeup,
make the shit.
She can take this shit and make a face.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, congrats to her, but like, let's not lose sight of what Forbes was trying to do.
Yeah,
I don't think they was trying to shit on a black
woman. They were just trying to get money.
Trying to move units, man.
Also, Robin Thede's show, The Rundown on BT, was canceled.
Yeah.
She wrote on a tweet, classic high critical praise, low ratings. Thanks to my staff and crew for being so dedicated, funny, and brilliant. I'm so proud of what we made, and thanks for watching. We did it all for you, except Ben Carson, body roll. I just read that because I remember, like, you know, something you always say, like, you know, niggas say they always want these type of shows and this type of quality content, and da 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 da. How come ain't no black type, ain't no black Stephen Colbert, or blah blah blah? And then BT gives you one, and y'all
don't
niggas
watch
don't
it.
Watch it.
Not even attempting to watch it. Right?
It's
like,
only
this
been
isn't,
a season.
This is my point. This is not about, hey, we're going to give this a shot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like niggas even really gave it a shot.
They didn't give it a shot. And, I had nobody talking
and,
about it.
And listen, you can...
And it was supposed to, like...
You are not forced... You are not forced as a black person to take in black content that you are not appreciative of or you don't like.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that at all. Right. But I do suggest that we give shit a shot before we check out on it.
Yeah.
And... I mean, for this to last a season, and you know, this is what I talked about even with BET before. It's like, we keep asking for this shit. We keep asking for this shit. And every time they roll it out, without fail,
it gets canceled.
Every time they roll it out,
don't watch
one, maybe two seasons at most.
Yeah.
Because niggas don't watch, they don't engage, they don't participate, they don't, you know, and again.
But you know what part of it is? Part of it is that people do not think of BET as an original programming destination anymore, right? Like, if Robin Thieves' show had been on OWN or been on something else...
On my TV One.
On TV One.
But here's the thing.
I bet you it would have had... But so there's something about... And I'm just saying, there's something about BET that even when they bring these shows...
The only reason I would disagree with that is because every year during the BET Awards, niggas tweet...
Niggas just talking.
But what I'm saying is, niggas tweet... Why we don't get, and they will list a bunch of shit.
But they be talking shit.
So my point is, are them niggas even watching?
Yeah.
My point is
they talking.
That's all I'm saying. Like, then we can't say, yo, we want to have this and we want to have that. Why BET can't give us this? Why BET can't give us that? And every time they give you something,
you don't watch it.
You niggas, don't watch it.
Like, dude, we're not even talking about, tell me that you guys had a great turnout for the first week, and maybe shit declined.
It never even starts.
Shit ain't even jump starting. Yeah. Shit ain't even jump starting. So guess what, man? Like, miss me with all that shit. Like, we keep asking them to squeeze water from a rock.
Yeah, you're right.
Every fucking year.
Yeah. You're right.
And I got my issues with BET.
We all do. By the way, there's a new movie on my TV One called Down for Whatever. With the star and LaToya Luckett.
I thought about you. I mean, very quick shout out.
I got to watch
Peace to the Urban Movie Channel.
Oh, what y'all was that? I didn't watch that shit.
So I downloaded it. It's an app. It's basically direct to, you know, it's like a streaming service.
Okay.
It's Robert Johnson's baby.
You know,
he funded that.
Okay.
So basically, like, dude, you could get all your fixes on all the
black
bad
movies.
The bad black soap operas.
They got like
a bootleg Law and Order popping.
Oh, shit. I'm about to download this.
I'm dead ass serious. I've been watching like for probably a
Jeff
week and a half.
Jeff might not leave the house.
Yo, shit. The moment I saw that shit, I was like, oh, this nigga Jeff
gonna go get some butter pecan,
and they gonna go get some butter pecan and do it.
The weather be raining in about 38 degrees. Shit, I watched 8 movies that day.
Shit.
Y'all really understand how much Jeff really likes
black movies. I love them black movies, boy. I'll be like, oh, shit. Oh, man, there it is. I'm downloading that. Look at that. Oh, and a piece of that. Who's the boy that got the books? This whole guy wrote
in the house.
I'm going to buy one of those books.
No, Twitter is really doing like a group read on that shit. Right now.
Because like, how could you not? Like, this whole guy Roaches and some other titles is crazy about my gay baby daddy.
Oh, yeah, my stepdaddy is gay and I'm having this baby. Some shit like that.
I'm like, man, I got to read that just on. Yeah, this bitch here, this bitch got roaches in her crib.
Just on
the Kindle edition by Quan Mills is the guy's name. Quan Mills. Oh, piece to Michael Arsenault, whose book came out today. Oh, yesterday.
This week. I can't wait.
I was gonna download it to the phone, but I'm actually gonna buy the hard copy.
Yeah, I'll buy a hard copy. Also, if you guys want to take a listen, you know, Fresh Air Podcast is one of my favorite podcasts.
Right. Oh, is he on it? Was he on it?
Yeah, he's on there with Terry Gross. And it's really good.
Yeah, he been making his rounds. He's been putting his work in, man. God bless him. You know what I'm saying? He'll probably be up at the Sunday sermon. He's always around there. Yeah. I want to talk about Faith and Stevie J.
Okay.
So
I ain't got no issues with Faith and Stevie J.
Faith Evans, Biggie Smalls' ex-wife from 100 years ago.
Right.
You know, Biggie Smalls' ex-wife married Stevie J, who was Biggie Smalls' really good friend
and Christopher's godfather,
and one of his main producers when he's making these records. He produced a lot of records for Biggie. They got married, I guess, a week or so ago?
Yeah.
A week or two ago? A lot of people seem to have issues with it.
And they were dating last year.
Yeah, they were dating on the show.
Yeah.
They dated on Love It. Was it Love It Hip Hop Stevie Show?
Stevie Show, I think. Because on Love It Hip Hop, I think it was on Stevie Show. Yeah. But they were dating last year.
So they, I sent it to bro didn't believe it. Bro was like, I need to see more evidence. It's some bullshit.
Well, most people have problems with it because the reaction, because it's Stevie. Because it's Stevie, right? Because
we know it's going to bad.
Right, but so here's my take on that, right? Because people are like, Faith, some people were saying, like, Faith must be using again for her to be fucking with Stevie, and I was like, come on, y'all. Here's the thing. Faith has known Stevie for 100,000,000,000 years. She knows exactly who this nigga is. She knows exactly what he's about. She knows all sides of him. She's seen him sober. She's seen him not. She went to see him in rehab. Like, it's all kind of shit. But also, Stevie actually respects Faith as much as Stevie can respect any woman, right? And he is actually friends with Faith as much as Stevie can be friends with
Faith. And Faith don't need him.
Don't need him. Exactly. Ain't no, I'm signing you to Danger Zone and I'm taking 30% of your shit and bitch, you signed to me and I'm going to send you back to the strip club. Because Faith is working.
She's got publishing of her own.
I'm positive she's in a much better position than Stevie himself.
She don't want me to back taxes, so she's way more comfortable than Stevie.
Exactly. So if as much as anything regarding Stevie has a chance of working, as much as there is any true partnership with Stevie, this is as close as he's going to get. And I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm just saying I understand it and I'm not mad at it.
Okay. Also, you want to hear my
go ahead. You think it's a...
How old Faith now? 45? 46?
She still look good, though.
I said she look good. I'm just asking how old she is.
But somewhere in there.
Mid-40s, right? I'm sure she's heard over the years about Stevie's, those sexual, predications or whatever you want
to
call them.
That's not a reason to marry the nigga, though.
But she's like, hey, I know the nigga. He gonna D me down good. I ain't gonna get pregnant at this point. 46. So what the hell? Why not? Who else am I marry?
I guess.
Who else you gonna marry?
Right.
She's aged out of that, hot young game.
But that's assuming she wants to be married. The woman been married twice. She could have been over it.
This is true.
You know what I mean? And it seemed like it was really Stevie who was pressed to make this happen.
Maybe.
But I'm sure we'll find out later. I'm sure there's some whatever. I'm sure there were some cameras around somewhere.
I'm sure. Moni Entertainment is documenting all this right now. We'll be seeing this on the fall episodes of Stevie Love Faith.
Sean
on eBay right now. He's like, I ain't saying shit. Sean like Miss B. I ain't saying nothing.
He's expressed now.
Exactly.
But they also have a single coming out that sounds like some old school shit. I'm not mad at that.
They'll get on the road, make a couple pennies.
Let them do their thing. Let Stevie and Faith live.
Leave them be. I got to talk about a little sadness. This duck boat thing.
Yeah.
It's horrible. So, it's just duck boat rides in Missouri. What lake is that?
They do it in Chicago, too.
Is that a lake or is that the river? That's the river, right? That's Mississippi River.
No, it was a lake.
That's on the Great Lakes.
It's a lake thing?
They do them in Chicago, too.
Oh, do they?
It's a way to tour the city via water. Any cities that have, major water thoroughfares, it's a way to, tour the city from the water where they can show you. They probably don't do it in the Hudson just because the Hudson is fucking disgusting.
It's disgusting.
but the other thing...
No, but they do it. I mean, they got Circle Line and all that shit.
But the other thing about the duck boat is that it goes from land to water.
Oh.
Have you ever seen The Breakup with Jennifer Aniston and
I ain't seen that.
And what's his name?
Was it on TV One?
No,
then I ain't seen it. I seen The Breakup with Morris Chestnut and Regina Hall. I seen that one. That was a good movie too, shit. they got together in the end. They went to church and got together in the end.
Okay. Anyway, it goes from land to water.
Okay, so I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yes, it was in Branson, Missouri. It was a, you know, this big storm came up. I'm still not clear on how they got caught in this storm.
Apparently, they knew about the storm and they thought they had time. Like I said, it goes from land to water. So apparently, they knew the storm was coming.
And they thought they had time to make it back. Because one boat actually made it back.
Right. We could probably get the water part out of the way and still be back on land before the storm hit. So I think they just thought they had more time.
Because did you see the video footage?
No.
Yo, the water, water is crazy. It's like crazy. Like, I was like, I don't believe anybody's out in this shit. Like, it's the, I don't know how they even survived without flipping over, like, earlier. Because they just, like, being tossed to and fro. It's horrible.
Well, apparently they were advised the storm was coming and they decided to go anyway. I'm not really sure what that conversation was or how quickly that storm must have come up on them. But allegedly,
the storm was pretty rough. I think that they said that they had measured winds up to about 73 miles an hour.
Winds.
Yeah. The water was, it was also, I mean, that was deep. I think that went down to about 80 feet.
Yeah.
So they basically said it just kind of, not that it snuck up on them, because I think that they were aware. I think that they just
came up faster than they realized.
Yeah, they miscalculated and
faster and harder than they realized.
Yeah, and what also they talked about was that, so apparently when they pulled the boat up, the life jackets were hanging in the top.
They never put the life jackets on.
They had never even put the life jackets on, and I don't even know if the captain was paying attention. He said, according to the survivors, he said, you know, these are where your life jackets are, but you're not going to need them.
You're good.
So when you hear things like that, like those are the sorts of things. And this is also not the first, you know, sort of incident that this happened. They're trying to regulate these things.
Right.
They had an accident, I think it was like in 1999 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then another one in the mid 2000s. So listen, it's not incredibly frequent, but it's frequent enough that this is a cause for concern.
Right. Because those are like independently owned, little tour company type.
From what I read, that as well, they're independently owned and they're not really regulated. But also, people who are in maritime the field, they basically were saying that it's a horrible design.
Okay. The boat
it's easy to capsize. It is not designed. The boats, the way they're set up, are not designed for the weight and for the use.
Okay.
And I think that because we're out on lakes, and for the most part, it's something that's very easy. You go and you do
it. The lake is calm.
100 times.
Yeah, the lake is calm usually. Yeah.
But it's still a real body of water, and you can really die in this shit. And this is not a fucking pond.
Yeah.
You know, you can stand up in or some shit. So yeah, it's incredibly tragic. I feel really bad that this, you know, for all of the people who died, and even the survivors, that must have been
they're gonna be crazy in therapy for the rest of their lives.
And especially the one woman, like
Tia Coleman, who 10 of her relatives are on the boat, and 9 of them, she was the only one to survive.
No, she had a nephew that survived, a 13-year-old nephew.
Okay,
survived,
so two of them survived. They were on a family vacation from Indiana.
Died.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, there's a picture. I mean, there's a picture of him on CNN. Yeah. It's like,
and that's when there's the question of like, what's the line between talking to a survivor to get the story and actually exploiting pain?
I think
because
that
this woman
was,
has to be in such a state of shock.
I thought that this was exploitive is a strong word, but what I did not think, like, to me, they were not going to get anything other than the soundbite of a heartbroken woman.
Yeah.
They weren't going to get any more information.
Yeah.
They weren't, they could have gotten that information from all of the other people.
Right.
They didn't need to interview her. I think people were sympathetic, but I definitely feel like the news, you know, they operate in this very gray space in that sense, right? Like, we know that this is going to get the clicks, but we kind of want to give her the opportunity. I just think it's incredibly harsh and insensitive to even consider that shit. Like, stuff a camera and a fucking microphone.
She's in the hospital.
Oh. Like, this woman is about to have to fucking bury her entire family.
Exactly.
Like,
whole family.
Like, so, and then, you know, some people have been like, oh, well, you know, they apparently there's a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Last count.
Yeah, but that money is nice. No, 619 now.
619.
But again, that's great. I mean,
my point is,
but that don't replace, you
your
know,
fans,
no. I mean, the people that were saying that weren't equating it to it being sort of a
but
better
more
thing.
Like there's help.
More like, you know, this is sort of the silver lining, right? Like she will at least not have to worry because it's one thing about burying your family. The other is the pressure of the financial part of that, right?
Yeah.
We don't know what their situation is. Insurance, who knows if there's a mortgage left, if the husband had insurance, kids usually don't have insurance. Mm-hmm. What that means, who's taking care of the nephew? Like what happens there? So there's a lot that's gonna happen, and I mean, hopefully that can alleviate at least the stress of the financial part for her.
Yeah, so that's a horrible story, man. I was like, oh my God.
And this is why, you know, like, I get made fun of all the time.
Because you can't swim?
Well, because I can't swim, but dude, I don't fuck around. When I go on a cruise, dude, like, and they say, yo, B, this is the, we're about to do the drill for you to know how to get the fuck out.
You be at the drill.
Nigga, I'm there.
Yeah.
Nigga, I'm there.
Brother with a pad. Well, hold on, repeat that last one.
No,
LOL, my nigga. I'm dead ass. Yes, I check to see, are my fucking life vests in the room? I need, when I get on the boat, when we was just going to Disney, we took the ferry over instead of the train because it was faster.
Uh-huh.
Nigga, I stand right there. Where the life vests? Where's the wrap? Where's the thing that they throw out?
Yeah. Oh,
where that shit at?
Yeah. The donut thing.
Yes, nigga. Yeah. And I'm standing there, phone in my pocket. And I need to see what the fuck is going on.
Right.
And I'm saying that in a joking way, but like, yo, man, that shit is dead serious. And I mean, listen, I'm not even those kids, you know, the boat capsized, right? So we're talking about funnels of water, wind.
Yeah.
Those kids, you know, you're probably not going to survive just because you can swim, right? Or you,
even with that way, that shit look, even if you can swim,
regardless, when I fuck around, dude, there's several pictures of me on vacation on ferries with a life jacket on.
I'm not mad though. I'm not mad.
Because you know what? Y'all can laugh at me, nigga.
Shake and pop off.
But guess what's not gonna happen?
Me going under this water.
At all. At all.
Wait, nigga, so hold on now. So when you go to the beach and all, would you just go up, walk out there up to your knees and turn around back?
Nigga, right around mid-thigh.
That's it.
I drop down, get wet on my shoulders.
Yeah. You don't put your head underwater?
Not really. I'm not really a beach guy. If I do, I'll jump in the pool. I'm not that big of a beach guy. The kids can do all of that shit.
Yeah.
Like, when we went to Jamaica last, like, oh, they got out there with the jet skis.
You like, I'll be over here.
My kid, the first lessons I signed my children up for.
Swimming
lessons.
Yeah.
That they were able to take in preschool. Like, their preschool had a pool.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first thing I did. Because I knew I couldn't, it was the one space that I could not guarantee.
You could help.
That I could help. Yeah. I knew that I might freeze. I don't know what might happen.
Yeah.
I need them to be able to function. They're strong swimmers. Even when they go out, even when they're on the jet skis, I don't necessarily stand and watch it. It's hard for me to watch.
You can't free it. You could
flip
over and you get freaking out. Oh my goodness! I'm sorry, ma'am. I really am.
Yeah,
that's a horrible situation. Much. Now, have you been watching Love Is?
No.
Okay.
People said it's getting good though, so I guess
it is getting good. But that
makes me happy that I'm waiting to binge it.
Yeah, you should binge it.
Yeah.
That Salim, the guy who plays Salim, that Salim character. He's a straight up fuck boy. Like, I'm like, I don't like this nigga. I'm like, I ain't like you, nigga.
Right.
Like, damn, like, you like really like, yeah, fuck boy, like a user.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like,
wow.
I don't understand. I'll let you watch it, then we can
you
get into it.
You don't understand how he let himself be betrayed? Like,
no, I think that's really how he is. I don't understand how Mara let it get that way.
Right.
Because when she met him, he had zero, and she was already rocking. She was like writing on Moesha, like she was making really good money. He had nothing, like nothing, no job, nothing. He had nothing. They had $3.
But
I also want to talk about this shit. Let me pull it up on the thing. You'll see this thing about when they opened up this old tomb.
Oh my God, white people. Well, I can't even say white people because this is.
Wasn't the white
Middle Eastern? Well, I guess so, but I think it was actually the people. It wasn't black people, let me put it that way. So they found in. Where were they?
They were in Ireland.
No, they weren't in Ireland. That he found the sarcophagus? Is that what you're talking about?
I believe it was in Ireland.
It was not in Ireland.
I believe so.
Because they thought that they found like somebody from the... No, it wasn't. It was in the Middle East. Right, it was in Egypt.
In Alexandria, Egypt.
Alexandria, right. Because they thought they were finding somebody. I don't know where you got Ireland from. That's why I said it's not technically white people. So they found the sarcophagus that was huge, bigger than usual. Like, mm-hmm. It's over 6 feet large. It was black.
Mm-hmm.
Marble?
Mm-hmm.
Black marble.
It said it dated between between 305 and 30 BCE.
Right. So old as fuck. Old very spook. Deep as fuck. And I mean, finding new unsealed sarcophagus is not something that just happens anymore. So of course these motherfuckers are like, well, let's open it up. Because
like, what are you doing?
Why not, right? So let's open it up. So collectively around the world, you hear black people saying, no,
don't let all the evil spirits.
So they open it up because they're thinking they're going to find some jewels or something that's going to tell them who it was. It's going to tell them more about the Alexandrian Empire. It's going to do whatever. And they open it up, and it's like a whole family of skeletons.
Mm-hmm.
And red liquid.
Yeah, that they say is sewage. But I ain't never seen no red sewage.
I ain't never seen. Isn't that like murky brown or something? Like, it's a red.
I'm looking at the picture. It's red.
It's red.
Yeah, so I ain't seen no sewage like that.
This is an Indiana Jones plot, and everybody is gonna die who's involved.
Why would you open that shit up, man? Like,
so, I mean, like, I get it. Like, oh, this is a rare piece of history. This is an opportunity to. But I listen.
How much
that shit been buried that deep for that long?
I wonder what it smelled like.
Oh, can you imagine? I'm sure they have full hazmat situations, but still.
I'm looking at the men right here. They got on some face masks and regular clothes. Shit, mm-hmm. They ain't even... They standing over the dredges looking at it.
They gonna die.
They are gonna die. Shit, what the hell are you...
And because white people gonna white people, there's a fucking petition being signed for people who want to be able to taste
the blood.
The liquid.
Why would you do that?
Because they're stupid.
Why would you want to taste the liquid?
You know what? Give it to them. Give it to
natural
them.
Natural selection.
Every motherfucker that thinks that they should taste that,
go ahead.
Absolutely.
Go ahead for free. Yeah, go ahead for free.
Oh, my God.
Motherfuckers is crazy. I guess we need to mention, would you want to mention Putin and Trump and all this crazy shit and these tapes and...
I mean...
It's bullshit. And
Trump on Trump, Putin on Putin. Apparently, though, I need to read this. Sean, you might have read this. Something about Putin gave Trump a soccer ball.
Yeah, he did.
That had some kind of microchip in it.
Oh, I believe he had a chip in it. I didn't know it had a chip in it, but I believe
already,
it.
That has already breached, like, at least one cell phone. It had a chip in it that could access cell phone data.
I believe it, because it was weird. He was doing the side-by-side shit. That was already bananas. He was punking the shit out of Trump. Crazy.
Punking the shit out of Trump.
And then he just like, oh yeah, because the World Cup had just ended. He's like, oh, here's a gift, and it's a soccer ball. And it's like a regular, it ain't like, you know, no fly shit, no gold leather. It was just like a regular ass soccer ball you could buy like at, you know, the Walmart. I'm like,
so
that's
the soccer
the
ball
gift?
Has it, so apparently the soccer ball, and this came from like a credible news source, not no bullshit, but I need to read further. Apparently the soccer ball has some kind of chip in it.
I bet it did, because it didn't make no sense.
And the chip has already breached at least one, like in a certain perimeter around it.
And I'm sure Trump probably knew.
Probably.
I'm going to give you this soccer ball. You take the shit.
Be cool.
He might have known. He might not have known.
He's such an idiot.
I can't with them too. Like, he's being played
idiot.
So bad. Like,
but my thing is, like, it's so blatant. Like, what's killing me is that it's... And maybe that's why more people aren't reacting, because it's so blatant you can't even believe it's real.
Yeah.
It's so blatant. Like, it's...
Like, how you trusting the dude that used to run the KGB?
Well, don't trust him because... There's benefit in it for him in the long run. Trump don't give a fuck about this country. He only wants to be
for himself.
Powerful.
Yeah, for
right.
himself.
That's the thing. Trump really does not care about the betterment of the United States of America
no.
at all. As
he
long as he's secure,
he ain't no
bad,
patriot.
Yeah, he don't care. He's like, well, how's this going to look for me? He couldn't care if we sell the whole country out as long as he... Because he assumes he's going to be good regardless.
Regardless, exactly.
So, which is what a lot of these motherfuckers are operating right now. But as a citizen... I really don't understand the mental acrobatics that people are going through to see this happening
and still try
and
to justify
like,
what it.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, nigga, this shit is like a Bond movie. Like, it's like a bad movie.
Yeah.
It's like a Leslie Nielsen movie. Like, seriously. It's so, just like some naked gun. Like, it's so ridiculous.
And now he's invited them over. They said they just pushed the trip back to next year.
Well, apparently Putin canceled, so Trump made it seem like, oh, well, never mind.
Because he always...
Or, well, but maybe finally some of his advisors... Because when Trump got back from the whole Putin thing, he was actually shocked that motherfucker was like, what the fuck is wrong? He was shocked that people were like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, he thought it was... He was like, yo, I rocked that shit, right?
Yeah, so he started walking shit back. So maybe people finally got to him and said, you really need to not let that motherfucker come over here right now. Because he doesn't... Because also, like, you're alienating our allies... And cozying up to, like, our enemy, our adversary.
And doing everything he's asking you to do. Like,
and now you just want to fuck the NATO shit up against Iran. All the shit you should have been saying to Putin. You saying to this nigga. That's clearly...
But again, always over Twitter because he's a bitch.
Right. But also, people pulled up a bunch of tweets from when Obama was president where he kept saying, Obama's going to get in trouble and start a war with Iran. Obama's going to be embarrassed to start a war with Iran. So somebody pointed out, like, clearly in Trump's mind... The way you deflect when the heat is on you is to start some shit with Iran.
Exactly.
And that's now what he's... Like, that's the other thing. Like, he's so obvious.
Yeah, yeah. You're not even slick
with
it.
Everything he does is obvious.
He's the fucking worst. I can't wait to get these motherfuckers gone, man. Jesus Christ. What about Oakland?
Oh, yeah. The BART killing of Nia Wilson.
Yo,
and
like
her sister Latifah was stabbed but survived.
But I mean, we could get into that, but it's just like every day it just seems like
something popping in Oakland.
Yeah, not Oakland, just in general. The racist shit in general is like every
white
day.
White people want to be very clear.
White people want a
race war. I'm not saying all white people, clearly, but these white people, they want a race war, but they're justifying it by saying that black people want a race war. And I don't even know where they get that from. Because I've had conversations with some of these motherfuckers.
What are they saying?
But they're always like, y'all make everything about race. Y'all hate white people. Everything is about race. Y'all hate white people. Y'all want to eradicate us. Like, some of them really think we want to take them out. So they're going to try to take us out first. So be very clear, y'all. There are white people out there who want it. And apparently, there are some white supremacy groups that have targeted Oakland as the
base. I don't know why they thought the shit was going
to
work in Oakland.
Shit up.
But right. Them niggas out there, like, I don't know why they thought. They beat the shit out of some neo-Nazis, I think, yesterday. Because they were trying to do a march through there. I'm like, they thought they was going to do neo-Nazi march through Oakland?
They have tried to target Oakland as the place to start to stir shit up. But be clear, like, some of these white people, like, this is what they want. They want reaction. They want retaliation. They want arms raised. Like, they want this to go there. Because they think white people are going to triumph, which...
It's outrageous, man.
I'm going to tell you what. If and when black people do finally get to the point where we're like, fuck this and we on some Killmonger shit, it ain't going to work out the way white people think it's going to work out.
Absolutely. And like how white folks is just like bold now. It's like you see all these clips of white folks just walking up to motherfuckers like, why are you over here? Where you live? Give me your ID. I'm like, I don't fucking know you. Get the fuck out of here. Like, there was a woman at Harvard who got fired, who did that shit to a woman who was out with her child. Like, are you in...
Yeah, she was like, are you in the subsidized housing? The woman told this woman... So, it's Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, she's out with her child.
The child's outside playing on the sidewalk. The woman tells her the child's making too much noise while you're playing outside on a Saturday in the summer. And then says, well, do you live in university housing or do you live in the subsidized housing? Basically, like, do you live in Section 8?
Yeah.
And the woman did apologize the next day. And the woman's reasoning at the time was like, well, my daughter's napping. The woman has no kids. She was lying.
She was lying
it
about that?
Out she was hungover. And she was mad because she couldn't sleep.
I didn't even know that.
Right.
Motherfuckers calling the cops for everything. I saw a motherfucker today call the cops on this woman.
For the coupons? Like, extreme couponing isn't a thing. Talking about you already saved too much money. You trying to game the system. I'm tired. But that's the other thing. For every white person that is shamed by these videos, there are more white people that are emboldened. Like, I'm going to start calling
I'm going to call the cops, too, because I don't like that motherfucker. Because, I don't like the fact that he got vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, because now what you notice that these white people have started to say in the last few clips I've seen, they've been like, if you put this clip on, like the dude with the coupons, he was like, you can't take me without my permission, which actually, so that you guys know, at least in New York, you're allowed to video in retail locations. But now I've noticed that they've started being like, you can't video me without my consent, or if this ends up on Facebook, I'ma sue you. That's what these women did in Sears. If this ends up on Facebook, I'ma sue you.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy lady.
Yeah, because it's like, y'all want to act up and get bucked, but y'all don't want...
Y'all don't want no consequences.
Y'all don't want to go viral, but you want to... Like, the lady who asked this chick for her vending license.
Yeah, in San Francisco.
In San Francisco. She was like, I have to ask for her license. You have to ask for her license?
You was walking by. What?
Why do you have to ask
for her license? She got fired, too.
She did. Why do you have to ask for her license for what? Like, this thing that white people have with feeling the need to make everybody else follow the rules.
I'm waiting for my turn. Oof. I'm waiting for my turn. I'm waiting for my turn for one of these motherfuckers to come to me with some dumb shit. I'm waiting. Like my man who got with the pool. He got a pool. He's in this pool at his apartment complex. He shows the brother the key.
But also, they said that the manager knows good and well he lives there because the manager actually said something to him like, your mother. In the office.
Yeah, and you still, like, what the fuck? Yo, come on, B.
Yeah.
It's you know, I mean.
And he ended up getting, I want to say, like a couple months free rent or some shit.
As he should have.
Yeah.
It's like, I just don't know where they think this is going.
It's ridiculous.
Where is it going? They just like they think it's gonna be like citizen's arrest all the time. You just walk.
Oh,
up
there's an actual
people?
Video of somebody trying to give a citizen's arrest in Whole Foods just because dude is Arab or Muslim.
I saw that too. Wouldn't let him walk out.
Wouldn't let him walk out. Isn't that crazy? But like your citizen's arrest for what?
I'm calling 911 because I'm calling ICE. Nigga, I just bought some peaches. Like yeah, what the like fuck is you talking about?
Trying to get some cherries.
I just don't understand how more people are not violent though.
Because if we get violent,
we gonna get
we go
up.
To jail, and the narrative changes, and then it's on us. And I said that I was like, if more people no longer walk around with a fear of being popped in their motherfucking mouth,
they don't.
And that would change a lot of this shit. That would change a whole lot.
What you think,
bro?
I don't. I'm exhausted. Like I'm so fucking tied it up. And we know what this is. This is using the police as a proxy for. Not just that, like, I mean, just for really, you know, they know that the potential is there for a bad thing to happen.
Yeah.
To
yes.
Us,
yeah.
Right? This isn't even about...
It's a control sort of tactic.
Yes, it's not even about, you know, really wanting to know or anything like that. Because, okay, you take the lady, for example, with the girl in the water, right? Like, if she really wanted to know, the mom was right there.
Yeah.
She could have had a conversation with her, right? Yeah. Like, it's a neighbor. You know, this is a part of... Something that I've noticed even more recently, and I've noticed this with a very specific age group with white folks, is that they are not, when I first moved into my neighborhood, I was a little apprehensive.
I would have been too.
And I was welcomed, genuinely welcomed.
Okay.
And I lived in a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I knew those people. Those people knew my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And as there has been some changeover with those older folks, I've noticed that I don't get the waves anymore. Mm-hmm.
The younger ones. Are worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not getting the waves as much. You know, there's not...
Because the younger ones don't have a sense of community.
That's what I was going to say. There's not a sense of community, right? There's not a sense of being a part of something. And when they feel like, you know, their space is being encroached on... You know what I'm saying? What's the easiest shit for me to do? I could call the cops.
Call the cops.
Because there's no consequences or repercussions.
Right, I don't have to deal with the person.
I don't have to deal with the person. I don't have to even deal with internally. I don't even have to grapple with.
That didn't feel bad.
I don't even have to grapple with was that necessary.
Right.
Right? Because I can be justified.
Yeah.
You know, it's the lady who fucking calls the cops because kids are playing ball in my backyard.
Right.
Guess what, lady? It's 4 o'clock. And they're going to keep playing fucking basketball.
Right, right,
how about that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was tempted to call on them the other night.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's not a thing for us.
Right.
Yeah, because again, you know, because you know when we call the cops, we don't know it's going to, more than likely, it's going to end up turning on us.
Right.
And we're going to be fucked up.
And, like, it's like a fucking Friday night, Thursday night. A little noise. Is that really a big fucking deal?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's really what this shit is about. And so, yeah, they take, you know, these sort of you know, the racist shit that they have buried inside them, and the cops is the easiest antidote to it's like you said, it's wielding power. They get to do that shit with no consequences, no repercussions. They don't have to answer to
anybody.
Because
they also don't want
to
face you.
Yes, and they don't want to, like, if you watch this video, like, this dude is mad that a woman is using coupons. Is as if the food on his kid's table
is going to be
jeopardized.
Yeah.
Right.
You work at a fucking Dollar Tree store.
Yeah.
Okay? Take the fucking coupons, dude.
And there were Dollar Tree coupons from, like, the Dollar Tree. I mean, not even, like, with the CVS where you thought it was.
Like, that shit doesn't affect you one way or another. And she is, and this is the other thing, man. Like, it's like, she is doing everything within the rules, and you're moving the goalposts.
Exactly.
It's just the nature of
and
how we have to deal with
the reason he called the police wasn't even because of the coupons itself. It was because she started pushing back. She started filming him, and he called the police because she was filming him. And the police came and was like, "I suggest you call," said to her, "you should call corporate about this and file a complaint."
This is my problem. Just like that, just like the guy with the pool. And even when the police are operating with a sense of trying to defuse the situation, they consistently embolden that whiteness.
Because nothing happens.
Because
to them.
Not just because nothing happens, because even at that pool, guess what that cop did? That cop asked that woman, to show the ID.
To pacify that white man.
Just show
when
him
it was
your
none
ID.
Of his fucking business.
Yeah.
And that cop should have dismissed his ass. And if the cop wanted to know and wanted to see her ID to ensure that everything was okay, now that's different.
But like you let the white gave the white man what he wanted.
You gave him exactly what he wanted. So everything worked out for him.
Yeah.
Even so, in this case, the cop arrives. He tells the lady what she needs to do instead of telling that man, "Don't you fuck." Can call now.
Yeah.
Call 911 again for some stupid shit like this, and I'm gonna lock your ass up.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what should have fucking happened. But you know that this is my point.
And there are very few cases.
No,
there have been a couple cases where that happened. Like it happened. There was one woman who kept calling the cops on a realtor who was doing some work on the house next door. The cops arrested her for harassment. But it happens so rarely.
Yes.
Yeah. Or like the kid, I mean, there's 100 stories. The clip of the kids who were selling candy or something for their football team.
Oh, and the cops
helped
them get a vending license.
No, not that. The cops arrested one of the kids. And then there's a black security lady and a white security lady. And the black lady is yelling at the white lady, "Look at what you did.
Yeah.
Look at what you did. This is what you wanted." And the kids, like, they're like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And she was like, "I just wanted them to leave." And she's like, "Why the fuck did you call the cops?"
Right.
"Look, now this boy's arrested." She's like wilding on the cop,
right.
on the white security lady. Because again, she's like, "Oh, I'm just going to call the cops."
What's that going to set off? Yeah.
What's it going to set off? I mean, again, there's 100 stories of it, and there's no wins for us.
Right.
There's no wins for us. The other thing about the young whites I noticed, Sean, is like they don't have that sense of community, and they, even just walking the streets of New York and other places, they expect you to like kowtow.
They feel entitled.
I'm walking towards you.
You move.
What did I just say? In coaching their space, they feel like you are in coaching their space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they are entitled to this sidewalk.
To walk without moving.
And you are supposed to, you know, basically anything that is seen as threatening, because oftentimes we will shrink ourselves.
Yeah.
We naturally shrink ourselves
because we just
don't want to deal with the issues.
To speak first.
Yeah.
We don't want to deal with the issues that we know can come with that. And listen, man, there's a reason why we act like that. That shit isn't made up. That shit is because of, you know, Emmett Till's and lynchings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, man, if you didn't fucking get off the sidewalk and take your hat off when a white woman passed, you might be on a fucking tree tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Yeah, dude, that shit is instilled. That shit is, when you hear your daddy and your uncle talk about that shit, or when you see them behave in a certain way around white folks, and they were trying to fucking survive, literally, not figuratively, my nigga, like they were trying to just live the next day.
Just trying to get home.
Yeah, like, so we can come out here and we can say, oh, this is what it should be, or this is, but yes, they feel entitled to that fucking space. And they expect you to move, and they expect you to behave a certain way.
To speak first to make them comfortable.
Yeah. And more and more, like, we don't fucking care.
Right. Yeah.
We don't give a fuck about your comfort.
And they don't know how to act
about
that.
And that's the problem. It's because guess what? Now I'm not moving.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm not getting
up. And they don't know the difference. And I think we said this before. They can't distinguish between being uncomfortable and being threatened.
Yes.
To them, being uncomfortable
is threatening. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And it's like, black people, like, live in a sub-existence of discomfort. Mm-hmm. Like, every time we're in just the world at large, like, there's a level of discomfort because we got to move around y'all motherfuckers and we tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we tired. We tired. So, it's not going to get worse. Or better, excuse me. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And, you know, it's going to be certain, it's going to be some backlashes coming. It's going to be some fight backs.
I mean, listen, at least in New York, we've been here before. Like, we were here in the late 80s. And shit was a lot more volatile. Now, that's what's weird. It's like this civil violence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's being handled through police channels and stuff like that. It was a little bit more like it just might go down.
It just might pop off.
Back then. But we might get back to that. I mean, I don't know.
We might.
Yeah. How we're going to do the right thing out this bitch.
That's it. We're going to wrap it up. Y'all got anything else y'all want to talk about before we go?
Nah.
Nah, I ain't got nothing.
You ain't got nothing? You good?
Yeah.
Let me look at my lid here.
Peace to Last Chance U is back.
Oh yeah, I gotta watch it. I gotta binge it.
You should definitely. We'll get into it next
week.
Okay.
You watch the whole season? I got
one and a half episodes left.
Okay. So you watch a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna tap out tonight.
Okay. I'm gonna get into it.
We should definitely touch base on it because it's interesting.
Okay.
To say the least.
And last thing, peace to Real Housewives of Potomac.
Oh, yeah.
It's been an epic season. Still not over. It usually ends after they take the trip.
Yeah.
Like, they took the trip to France, and there's, like, at least one more episode. I'm like, y'all niggas are still going.
I think they've already filmed.
Yeah, they did film the reunion.
Yeah, so that means that they're probably
on one or two.
Yeah. Usually a reunion, when they tape it, you have maybe three, maybe four episodes.
Okay.
From when they taped the reunion to turn it over, and then they show the reunion. So
yeah, but it's been a lot going on, and it's been a good season, man.
I mean, it's been the most. I know you guys only watch the Black Housewives seasons, but Potomac and New York are the only really two good installments in the Housewives franchise
left. Because Atlanta's, Atlanta's terrible. And Kenya's gone now, right?
Reportedly
it's been a wrap. I mean, look, I just gotta say,
they don't want her. That's what I'm gonna say.
Well,
they made her an offer, but they don't want her because she doesn't want
to. I think it's wildly disingenuous to sign up for a show about your life
and have an entire fucking life
outside of the show,
right?
Like, it's just why it's
and
just.
Then,
it's
feign
disingenuous.
Insults, and then feign being offended that they made you a low offer. But it's like the parts of your life that are most interesting,
you don't
that
show.
Will be most interesting to the show, you don't want to show. So why would they offer you
top dollar? Money?
And then I saw some reports about her having offers from other networks for spinoffs and things that
I don't know, let me say
other offers. But you know, that's often used in time. Listen, for the most part, networks are not willingly letting their talent go just like that.
Yeah, to go get a check somewhere else.
It takes some time
for
those contracts to run out. They have, there's a reason they're contracts, right? Like, this isn't like a handshake deal in the back of a fucking TGI Fridays.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it seems to me like she wants to have the best of both worlds.
Mm. Yes.
She wants to be able to keep her private life private, but still be on a show that is about her private life and only feed the producers what she wants them to see.
And I think that's more her husband, to be honest with
you.
I think it's her.
I'm going to tell you why I think it's her. I think that the husband is also a part of that, but I think she doesn't have a problem with that. And I think that she wanted to keep her pregnancy. She wanted to keep her marriage. She wanted to try and keep that away. I actually think she's, married and in love with this man versus the shit with the other, what was the crazy boy? Matt.
Yeah.
Like, that was, Matt. Like to me, that was very telling.
Mm-hmm.
right? Of how she feels about someone.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this was for show. This was
nigga,
for
the show. Just be happy on the show and stop acting crazy.
Like, it was like, this was work.
Yeah.
Right? And what she doesn't understand is that, you know, for the producers, that's not how any of this shit works.
Yeah.
Like, imagine Phaedra not, imagine Phaedra saying, yo, I don't want y'all to tape nothing with Apollo.
Right.
Yeah, and what we doing?
And my pregnancies, I gotta, you know, you guys can't follow me when I'm pregnant. It's like, huh?
Yeah, why are we on the show then?
What does that even mean? Like, this is a docu follow.
Yeah. Apparently, Apollo's getting out next year.
His homegirl, who he's the about new wife? To marry, is going to say yes to the dress this season, which is funny as fuck to me, but whatever.
Is that a wedding show?
Oh, it's this show on TLC where women go to Kleinfeld's, which is one of the most popular bridal boutiques. There's a branch of it here in New York and in Atlanta. So there's two different versions of the show, one for Atlanta, one for New York. And they go and they take their friends and they try on bridal gowns and they pick out their bridal gowns.
Okay.
So they have celebrities on when they can't, like, what's her name? What's homegirl from the Omarosa did it?
Oh.
So, but like occasionally, you know, they have celebrities doing it, so but they also just have normal regular.
So she's getting, so they get
they
married.
Have normal regular ass people on it. But I saw a preview for it that she was gonna be on First Say Yes to the Dress, and she was like, but you know, or they might already be married.
I'm think
not
they
sure.
They are married.
They are already married.
They probably trying to get them conjugals.
Yeah, but she was like, but I guess they're planning for whenever he gets out
to have a wedding.
She was like, but you know, he's incarcerated right now, and I was like, I can't.
Alright, man, we gone.
Peace.
We'll see you next week.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook, send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast. Talk to you next week.